This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy signing day, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, happy signing day to you. This is a big day in the world of sports. Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't hear you. Are you there, sir?
I am here.
Okay. I couldn't hear you. I said it's a big day in the day of sports.
Sorry, I was handing you the breaking news sounder.
Oh.
That it's actually signing day. I did not know until about 10 minutes ago.
Yes, it is. How about that? How about days that have been destroyed, by the way?
That one is, well, that's up there, opening day, but I think probably signing day, too.
Oh, no, opening day is still... opening day is purely local now, right? It's like, yeah, whatever. There is no, but I New Year's Day as a bowl extravaganza certainly has been destroyed, right? Opening day has been destroyed, but I don't know that any day has been as completely obliterated as signing day. This is the old signing day.
Yes.
This is when in Oxford and Starkville and Fayetteville, folks would drive in from, you know, miles around, and they'd gather around, and they'd wait to see names appearing on the board. And I only realized it yesterday.
Well, you beat me.
That it is signing day. And evidently Michigan, there's one top 50 high school player, I think, who has not committed
still
yet.
Undecided.
An offensive lineman. And I think he had originally committed to Alabama and he probably has already signed Michigan.
Respect.
If only because they have the best fight song in the land. Anyway, happy signing day to all y'all. It is a big day here, not because it's signing day, but because we always have a loaded show on Wednesdays. We got John Martin in the next segment, then Chris Harrington, and then Sam Hardiman. And they're all particularly timely, given that I think of John as an expert on the Memphis Tiger basketball team. Memphis plays tonight against Tulsa at FedEx Forum. I did get I saw that they've already sent out a seat policy for tonight's Tigers game, Jeffrey. If you are a terrace level ticket holder, you got an email that says, in an effort to create a more engaging atmosphere at FedEx Forum, we will be closing off the terrace level for the upcoming men's basketball games against Tulsa, Wednesday, February 5th, and Rice on Wednesday, February 26th. As a terrace-level ticket holder, we will be upgrading your terrace-level tickets to an open seat in the club or plaza level at no additional charge for both games. Your new seats can be found in your official Memphis Tigers app. Is that smart, sad, or understandable? What is it, Jeffrey?
I think understandable is probably the appropriate word.
Totally understandable and smart. I think it's both of those things. Sure. I guess in some theoretical world, you'd like to have 17,000 people want to watch Tulsa, but you won't. More on that in a minute. John Martin will join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington, the trade deadline's bearing down upon us. Jeffrey, 2 o'clock tomorrow. And so there has already been, obviously, seismic changes in the NBA, and there may be more changes yet to come. We'll talk to Chris about that. And then Sam Hardiman, particularly newsy day. I always love having Sam on Wednesdays. He writes about the city for the Daily Memphian. You could read his stuff over at the Daily Memphian. But he's had a bunch of stories lately that have been really something else. One, not sports related. He had the story, Jeffrey, that Elon Musk was late with his MLG and W bill.
You informed me of that.
Paid up now, but was late with his. Well, Sam informed me of that because I read the Daily Memphian. That's where I read it. And then yesterday, there was great debate. You know, they're thinking about putting in this water treatment plant.
Yep.
XAI is, and building it themselves. And
as Charles likes to refer to it as gray water.
I don't think Charles likes gray water.
He hates
Charles
it.
Objects to the gray water.
He hates it.
I don't know why. But anyway, so yeah. So the city of Memphis, there was discussion about selling a piece of land, 13 acres, to XAI, where they could build, finance it themselves, this $78.6 million water treatment plant. So you wouldn't be taking water out of the aquifer, you'd be recycling water. And not only that, they would create enough clean water, reusable water, that they would take care of their needs and more. But seemed to be great skepticism about it at city council, and I'll talk to Sam about that. But then he also had news about FedEx Forum. We continue to, you know, sort of discussions on the refurbishment renovations of FedEx Forum continue. And so we learned yesterday, both in the what was said in front of city council, but then Sam Hardiman talked to the mayor separately about the funding of this. Basically, $80 million seems like it's about to be laid out to work on the project. But also there was a paragraph in there about in his story about how the mayor expects the lease to be finalized this summer, I think is the way it was described. No word on how long the lease is. And I think that's a substantial question, honestly. You know, we know the last one was 30 years. This one may not be 30 years. And this one, I am almost certain. I think the pushback, to the extent there's ultimately going to be pushback or the debate around this lease, will be about clauses contained in the lease. And I'm literally just speculating here. That protect the Grizzlies if things don't go well. But that therefore would either be expensive or risky for the city, right? So, heck, we in the last lease we saw what happened, and in fact the early termination clause was triggered because there were protections in that lease. Now in the end they settled it and they came to an agreement so the Grizzlies could continue to play here, and the city would what actually happened is they started making direct payments to the Grizzlies. But I think there will be protections in the lease that will either provide for financial support of the Grizzlies if attendance craters or escape clauses, things like that. I'm just speculating. I suspect that's where some of the debate about this lease might come ultimately. But it's good news fundamentally that they're things seem to be on track. Things seem to be on track. And as the mayor said, this summer, he expects that they may come to an agreement on the lease. We'll talk to Sam about that. So super busy show with John Martin, then Chris Harrington, and then Sam Hardiman. There's so much happening in the world, Jeffrey, that it's almost hard to focus on the world of sports. And so I want to ask you a few questions.
Says the man that just doesn't want to think about the Chiefs.
One, well, I will say this, not just on this show, but broadly speaking, I haven't noticed a lot of Super Bowl talk. And to the extent, I mean, there's been some NFL talk, right?
Sure.
But it's been hirings, it's been Myles Garrett.
That's for trade requests,
draft,
yeah.
It's been all of that. I think it's just sort of the way I don't think it's just because people are tired of the Chiefs, although there is some, I think, weariness of the Chiefs. I think it's just the way that, I think it's just the way Super Bowl week goes. I don't really think people want to dive in, generally speaking, dive in with breakdowns of who's going to win, why, whatever. I think people are much more interested in Miles Garrett going to get traded than they are in matchups in the Super Bowl. It's going to happen Sunday. We're going to watch it unfold. I used to cover the Super Bowl for years and years and years. And so I'd write a column every day about matchups and that sort of thing. And there'd be there used to be this whole focus on media day where sure. people would do crazy stuff and ask crazy questions. I just I haven't heard much of it at all, partly because it's the NBA stuff that's happened. But I just think there's kind of the Super Bowl will happen when it happens. I don't know. Your thoughts?
I think, though, isn't that reflective of a matchup that people aren't that excited about? Like, I think two things can be true. I think people are not super excited about the matchup, but I also think everyone's going to watch.
Oh, 100% everyone's going to watch. I don't mean that.
I agree with your premise.
I don't think, generally speaking, actually, matchup talk, no matter the matchup, carries the day. People are much more interested in.
Do you think we'd be going through the same thing if it
trade
were
trade talk?
If Bills Lions were here, do you think it'd be the same?
There would be no more. I don't think there'd be any more talk. There might be a little more about Josh Allen and whatever because they're all new, they're a little more focused. But even then, it wouldn't be matchup. It would be about the cities and the fan bases and the long, waits and the tortured thises and whatnot. And I don't think people – I mean, you might,
No, I mean, because I found this – I don't know. I was mentioning this with Tim yesterday. I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that even though the Lions were the number one seed, given the health and roster of the Lions when they played them in the playoffs, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. And they've shown it since October 1, and here they are.
Yes, I agree.
And the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, and they've shown it throughout the year. It doesn't happen that often that you do get the unquestioned best teams, and it just feels to me kind of flat. And I don't really know why.
I think just there's not the narratives are flat, but the game won't be flat. The matchup isn't flat. I do think it's an interesting, here we are talking about Super Bowl. People expect that there will be a new a record set for the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
I would be interested if it were Bills, Lions, let's just say, would it be a smaller number or would it be a bigger number? Then it would have a fresher quality to it, right?
But yeah.
There is something about, there's something about the dynasty being there that makes it compelling, at least when it starts to unfold, if not on the Wednesday before.
As an amateur media critic, my instinct says the number would be smaller with Bills, Lions. I mean, we're still talking about a massive number, so it's kind of at the margins. The only team that we've seen throughout the playoffs this year that has consistently outperformed last year's playoff numbers has been the Chiefs. And so my instinct says that's what matters.
Okay. You're right, though. I don't want to talk about it. Some things in the real world before we get to the world of sports. First, this is local. If you went to the Memphis airport right now and you had a chance and a choice to get on a flight to Tampa, to Raleigh, to Raleigh-Durham.
Yep.
Or to Providence. Where would you go?
Tampa.
Yeah. So now here's a follow-up question. If that flight was a Breeze airline flight, would you get on it?
So I had to learn.
We have new direct flights in Memphis to Tampa and Raleigh-Durham. I think we already had them to Providence, but Breeze airline or Airway or whatever the hell it is Breeze is going to be flying, and it is the 10th airline to operate out of Memphis. It is going to be flying to Tampa and Raleigh and Providence. And I will tell you, I don't get on those. I do get on, whatever, the original low-cost airline, Southwest, no problem, right? But the other ones, what are the other ones? What
so
are the other
you ones have that Spirit, fly you have Allegiant.
Any of them.
Those are the ones that fly out of here.
And I just kind of skeptical. I'm stupid. Like, they're not allowed to fly if they're just, a dude who got his license yesterday and a, airplane with parts hanging off of it. But would you happily get on a Breeze Airways airline?
I need to do more. I need to do more research on, like, what's their business model? I know the guy that started it was the guy that started JetBlue. And honestly, JetBlue, when JetBlue first launched, like, that was actually a pretty good flying experience. Like, they had limited.
They skipped the whole low cost. They went to high end. It was deemed as sort of almost a luxury airline.
It was kind of like all. It was still low cost, though, but it was like,
yes, it was.
It was still kind of like they
treated you right, though. They made gimmick, up for the low cost by treating you right.
The gimmick was like basically everything was first class, if you will.
Sam Hardiman would like to register as a Rhode Island guy himself that Providence is the place of those three destinations. That Providence is the place to head. So we'll discuss Breeze Airline. And Sam with Sam Hardiman as well. Okay. Secondly,
all right.
Now we know that Donald Trump is going. We're going to take over Gaza.
Okay. But we're developing it,
and we're going to develop it into the Riviera of the Middle East. And that's fine. I mean, whatever. I think more in reach the destin of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right. And so, if you were to put one or two, I've really never been to Destin. Never been to the Gulf Coast right down there on the Gulf of America.
Yeah, it's because you're a lake snob.
Because I'm a lake guy. So
no, snob.
What would you, lake snob, what would you put? Which restaurants or developments, like, what would you think? Where should we start as we redevelop Gaza into the destin of the Mediterranean?
Well, I mean, Jeff, obviously the centerpiece of the entire development has to be a gorgeous, beautiful, remarkable, best ever Trump
Sam
Tower.
Destin? Okay. But there's not one of those in Destin.
No. Yeah, but in Sandestin.
I need something from Destin.
So probably the Sandestin Hilton, you know, it's iconic. Or you can have the South Wind Towers, the West Wind Towers. Again, they're iconic, like, staples of the 90s. You could put those... put those out there and say, you know, what was, you know, once old will be new again. You know, to me, the real question is, like, how much space are we working with? Like, what's our clientele? Who are we trying to target here?
I'm afraid targeting may be too soon.
Okay, too soon for that.
Target maybe too soon.
Okay.
So anyway, enough of that. And then, of course, news also at the Daily Memphian that we were talking earlier about the Lander Center dispute.
Mm-hmm.
The director of the Lander Center fired, and he said it was for booking black acts. And a response was issued, and that was, but this is fairly predictable, denied.
No way.
denied. So there you go. Hey, don't let you. We bring you the news from the world in addition to the news from the world of sports. But let's turn to that now. We got two games tonight, local teams, Grizzlies and Tigers, both in action. Would you say the Raptors are a better NBA team or Tulsa is a better college team?
I think I would say the Raptors are a better NBA team at home.
At home. And they will be at home where the national anthem will be played.
Correct.
And even though the tariffs have been paused, I expect some booing.
We expect some booing.
We do expect some booing. The game will then commence. And the news, of course, is that Marcus Smart and Vince Williams have both been elevated to questionable. Dez out. Brandon Clark also questionable. But that is the good news. And so I think we can expect that they will make their debut tonight in front of a hostile Canadian audience.
What are Toronto's attendance figures right now?
Okay. Well, I've heard they're closing off the terrace level.
I mean, I think you'll be able to identify who's booing. Like, literally, you just point. Like, that guy's booing.
This is a resumption of the Grizzlies-Raptors rivalry. Came into the league the same time. Like, this is a resumption.
We gave them their head coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Darko still there?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, good.
So, anyway, that will happen tonight. It is sort of slightly painful I never know when to use the word ironic, but slightly painful that here we are 24 hours before the trade deadline, but it'll be less than 24 hours by the time Marcus Smart and Vince Williams play, and this is when we get to see him, just in time to learn nothing at all. But that will be played tonight. Raptors are 16-33. They lost to the Knicks last night at home, 121-115. But elsewhere,
yeah,
in the league, elsewhere in the league, how about those Rockets not taking the Nets seriously enough? They fall.
They can catch you.
The Grizzlies. The Nets can catch you, but they—it's worse. They
oh, absolutely.
They lost to the tanking Nets. The Grizzlies lost to the
spunky November Nets.
Yes, exactly. That was a very different.
They remember November, Jeff.
Anyway, so that means the Grizzlies two up on the Rockets in the standings as they got this game, and then of course the big game. Got the big game Saturday against Oklahoma City. So that happened. And in terms of trade deadline news with the Grizzlies, the name that was floating out there yesterday, Lonzo Ball. And an interesting name. There were reports that the Grizzlies are interested in Lonzo Ball. You may remember Lonzo Ball from his NCAA tournament appearance here in Memphis. Of course. They played here in Memphis, I remember covering him in that game, got off to a brilliant start to his NBA career, and then wrecked his knee, Achilles? What was it?
Was
the injury that sidelined him for
I know
forever?
He had the knee.
He was basically out for forever, and is sort of a sweet miracle of a story that he's back and playing this year. And the truth of the matter, he's been playing very well and makes a lot of sense for the Grizzlies. He is a terrific defensive player. He sees the floor brilliantly. He's a very good passer. And he has been, at different times in his career, a very good three-point shooter. This year, I think he's shooting 34% from three, but he has been, I think his career more like 36, and he's had years when he's been considerably better than that before the injury, developed into a pretty good three-point shooter. He would be very good, I think, because of the way he sees the floor in the Grizzlies' offense. And so what a deal would look like, he's on an expiring contract, so it would be a rental, right? It would be, in fact, I think Chris mentioned him in the trade column that he did over the weekend. He mentioned him as a target in a Marcus Smart escape hatch trade.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're sick of the Marcus Smart experience, that would be a matching contract, maybe some draft considerations, whatever, for Lonzo Ball.
We have a little bit of breaking news on the trade front, Jeff.
Oh, what's the little bit of breaking news?
The little bit of breaking news is that the Bucks are trading Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma.
Well, that's not little. That's pretty big. That's pretty substantial. Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma was done with it, I think, is the feeling in D.C. And so we'll get Chris to talk about that as well. There's continuing to be the Kevin Durant rumors. I'll be honest. I don't really understand if you're in Phoenix and you want Jimmy Butler. I understand that, right? And you can't get Jimmy Butler because Bradley Beal won't waive his no trade. Okay? That's the theory.
He does not like to move.
I don't understand why your solution is, okay, we'll bring in Jimmy Butler at the cost of Kevin Durant. Like, that doesn't seem to me to be to make a lot of sense, but there's all kinds of talk around KD. There's talk about whether he might end up in Golden State. They were debating on Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours, they were debating, if you were Kevin Durant, would you want to go to Golden State? The theory being, Jeffrey, you know, we've always said it was a bad idea for him to go the first time because it put him in a position, fair or not, people perceived him to be ring chasing and to need the Warriors to get him to rings, even though
I think it was cheap ring chasing. I don't think it was necessarily ring chasing that bothers.
Cheap ring chasing. So if you were advising him now, if he cared about his reputation or anything else, advising him now, would you tell him to go to accept the deal to Golden State or no?
I guess if you put Durant on that team, is that team better than Phoenix?
Yes, I think so.
So probably at this point, like I don't feel like this one would have the.
It wouldn't at all have a cheap ring chasing.
Because in the end, it's a trade.
Because they're not good. They're not good right now.
Right.
Right. So if you could, in fact, you would be joining before you joined a team that could win a championship without you, and we knew it because we'd seen it.
You now, joined the team that beat you in the Western Conference Finals when you had a fourth quarter lead.
Yes. Now you would be joining a team that is very clearly desperate and floundering. And so if you could elevate them, and I would have some skepticism about the level to which he could elevate them, but if you could elevate them, I actually think it would enhance your reputation. Although the truth of the matter is, I think Kevin Durant's reputation is what it is now. He will always be considered one of the truly greatest scorers in the league and always be considered as a guy who was a cheap ring chaser and then tried and failed in two different locations subsequently to be the fulcrum of a championship team and couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and built like his own super teams and, you know, those were disasters.
Yes, a lousy architect of super teams.
Yeah.
And and I'll always wish he had stayed in Oklahoma City, much as I hate Oklahoma City. So anyway, all of that. We'll talk more to Chris about the trade deadline when that comes. But the Grizzlies news is really good. You got the Rockets losing.
Yep.
You got discussions of the lease being settled by this summer. You got Vince coming back. You got Marcus Smart coming back. And we got the fun of the trade deadline tomorrow. And so the Grizzlies play the Raptors tonight.
Are we in agreement? How do you feel about the Lonzo deal?
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'd be fine with it. I think Lonzo would be an asset.
Yeah, I mean,
not like it. But again, I actually, first of all, I'll go on record. I think the Grizzlies will do something.
Yeah.
And I would be fine with that deal. I think he is a good player. He reminds me a little of, like, after Sean Livingston, way back when.
Yeah.
Remember when Sean Livingston got wrecked and then came back and was a valuable piece for the Warriors? I think he sort of can play that role. I think he would be a valuable. And would I trust him right now more than I trust Marcus Smart? I probably would.
Yeah, I guess my concern is I'm less worried about the backcourt or, you know, perimeter. I think if the Grizzlies are going to get some help, I'd like to see some front court help.
Well, that would be fine too, but I don't think those are mutually exclusive. So
yeah,
I mean,
fair.
You can do that, but I don't see the deal necessarily that would be unfolding to help the front court. You know, we had Chris suggesting Larry Nance Jr. Yesterday, but you can make multiple moves.
Yeah, that's fair.
And certainly at the margins with this kind of move, you know, what it would be doing is giving up on the Marcus Smart experiment, you know, whatever. But do you have much faith in that anymore?
I don't know if like I'm totally out, because at the end, the one thing I do think Marcus provides that I think this team's lacking a little bit. Maybe to get it with Vince, you know. Yeah. But I do think I kind of want the veteran presence as well.
All right, and then the other we got the Tigers playing Tulsa tonight. As I said earlier, they have said that they are going to be closing off the terrace level, which shows you how this game is being received among the Memphis faithful. But listen, Tigers are in the top 25. They continue to be on course for a 4 or 5 seed. PJ Haggerty yesterday named one of the top 10 finalists for the Jerry West Award for the best shooting guard in the country. And so that is good. And I wrote a story today, which I would urge people to read. And it was really, someone told me that there was a 95-year-old woman, she's about to be 95 actually, who attended Tigers games and had season tickets up through last year. And now she finally couldn't come any longer. And the ushers, the way it was described to me, they're actually hostesses, visit her in her retirement home. If she can't come to them, this 95-year-old,
they're going to go to her.
They're going to go to her. And it's true. It's true. It is the sweetest story about these two hostesses who go see Thelma Scott in her retirement community, and they become friends. And it honestly, you know, we talk about how you know, sports teams bring cities together. I mean, you know, the one of the women I write about is a 71-year-old former postal worker. She is, and she's African American, and Thelma Scott is white, and like they're buddies. But what really, the other thing that really struck me about it is listening to the Thelma Scott story. She was from a really poor family that lived in Gibson County, one of five kids, and going to, it wasn't University of Memphis then, but going to Memphis in 1948 changed her life. And all five kids went to school, most to Memphis. Her son went to Memphis. Murray, he went to Memphis. And she started going to games in 1948. First game was they lost to Murray State, first game. And it didn't dissuade her from falling in love with the team. And she's seen more than 1,100 games personally since. Some good years, some bad years. She took a shot at John Calipari, which I appreciated. We had some coaches we like. We had some that left. So some that we wanted to leave but weren't happy they took their players with them. Like she took the gratuitous shot at John Calipari, which I appreciated. Didn't name him either. That was good. But what really struck me about it, she said it is the one thing most it's a point of joy and pleasure in my life since 1948. And when she cheers for the University of Memphis, she's not just cheering for a team. Like it's not, the University of Memphis isn't just a professional team. It is an institution in this city that touches and changes lives, including hers. And so it's different for her cheering for the Tigers than it would be cheering for anyone else. And it's based on more than, you know, whether they happen to beat Tulsa tonight. So it's a sweet story. It's over at the Daily Memphian. And I would urge you to read it because I always appreciate it when people share stories with me and I'm able to write them down. And that's what I did. It's over at the Daily Memphian. And I think reminds us why the University of Memphis matters so much in this community. On another front, though, Jeffrey, speaking of John Calipari, his old team, Kentucky, went to Oxford yesterday, and that did not go well for them. It was an astonishing performance by Ole Miss, including the stat that I almost could not believe. One turnover.
Jeff, I don't think they had a turnover until like 30 minutes into the game. Like, I'm talking 30 minutes of basketball, not 30 minutes of real time. It was insane.
Just unbelievable. 24 assists, one turnover, while scoring 98 points against Kentucky.
Yes, not defending the three or the two was quite the bold strategy defensively for Kentucky.
And it's funny how the worm can turn, isn't it, for Mark Pope? Like, wasn't it like 2 weeks ago he was the most popular man in Lexington?
Yeah, I also think a lot of that popularity was just that he wasn't John Calipari.
Oh, I agree with that, but it's not John, and more fun and winning, right? The not being John Calipari is great, but it wears off when you lose to John Calipari.
Yep.
And to Ole Miss.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that wears off quickly. Wow. That did. Ole Miss now 17-6, 6-4 in the conference. Kentucky 15-7, 4-5 in the conference. That will not win him fans.
I mean, obviously Butler being hurt is a big injury, but that wasn't the difference last night.
He's I mean, they were up by 23 and a half in the first half, weren't they? I think at one point I noticed it was 23 in the first half. All right, we got to take a break. John Martin's going to join us. We'll talk to him about this. Chris Harrington after that. Then Sam Hardiman. He'll defend the honor of Providence, where he'll be flying off to him on the new Breeze Airway flight to Providence. Before then, I will remind you, Valentine's Day is bearing down upon us, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is there for you. Just think of them. They're like you walk in and they're practically holding the bouquet of roses, the box of chocolates, and then pointing you to the stunningly beautiful jewelry. Actually, if you get them right now, you get a voucher, because who needs the roses right now? You don't. But free roses, free box of chocolates while supplies last with any purchase of $99 or more. So, for example, you want to get the Love You to the Moon and Back pendant. It's a beautiful diamond necklace, just $129. Diamond Essentials, a classic collection of crafted diamond solitaire earrings, pendants, bracelets. Prices starting at $599. The Above Love Star Diamond Engagement Ring, starting at $29.99. Plus the roses, plus the chocolates. They're there for you. Robert Irwin Jewelers. By the way, plus all kinds of great financing options as well, including 12 months interest-free. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations, or shop online at rijewelers.com. John Martin, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin. Jason and John every single day from 11 till 2. I am an avid listener. Got a lot to talk to John about, including, John, the recent deal just this morning. Chris Middleton, Bucks trade Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma. And I have to ask, where's the loyalty? Where's the loyalty? Luka takes his Dallas Mavs to the NBA Finals and gets dealt. Chris Middleton, legend in Milwaukee, three-time All-Star, franchise three-point made leader, had that legendary playoff run, third in franchise history in points. Can that possibly be? And he gets dealt to the frickin' Wizards. Where is the loyalty, John?
Well, this new CBA, man, this new CBA kind of did away with all that. And I'll say this, like, he is a shell of himself, right? Like, you know.
Hey, cutting a little close to home there.
Exactly. But he's making an insane amount of money, and this allows the Bucks to get underneath the dreaded second apron, which is everybody's favorite term.
Apron. So, my favorite apron.
It makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of college basketball guys. There's a big Bucks fan in there, and he's having a tough morning. Sometimes there are players, you know, that come along and, you know, 5 years pass and 10 years pass. And at the end, they probably mean more to your emotions than they do to your team's chances of winning on the court. And that's kind of what the Bucks are obviously running into here. But, you know, like the United States government, the NBA is a business. And, you know, you got to conduct business as shrewdly as you possibly can. I mean, obviously, so Kuzma does not.
Are we going to call the NBA team in Gaza? I mean, once we redevelop Gaza, and I'm
thinking we're expanding, but I wouldn't put it past Adam Silver.
I mean, why not? You know, it's going to be. Trump wants it to be. He wants it to be the Riviera on the Mediterranean. Jeffrey and I think it really should be the Destin on the Mediterranean. And I was asking him what parts of Destin he would, you know, you'd put there first. But then an NBA team.
That's in phase two, Jeff, because we also have to put a big kahuna up and the track. And that's all included in phase two.
What's a big kahuna and what's a track?
The big kahuna is the water park that molded
me. Perfect.
And the track is the first place I ever rode go-karts.
What says Gaza more than the big kahuna, right? Have you ever been to those, John, either the big kahuna or the track?
Yeah, I've been to big kahuna. I've been, you know, back when I was a kid, there was like a, you know, there's feces in the lazy river there. I remember.
Allegedly.
But no, it was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you could kind of like just make Gaza, you know, the new 30A, you know, 30E of the Middle East. You know what I mean?
I think there's a lot of potential there. All right, how do you feel about, before I get to the Tigers, how do you feel about the Grizzlies acquiring Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, there's my guy on Twitter. I love him. He's funny, man. He's Mike. His name is Mike.
He loves you or hates you? What does he do?
No. We're super friendly. Like, and I'm so, you know, I know this. I love this guy because, like, he wants every player to play for the Grizzlies. He's like, he's tweeted about, like, Jimmy Butler. He's tweeted about Lonzo. He's tweeted about Durant. Like, he's, like, every, like, person that's mentioned, like, he's like Grizzly, you know? And so, this is when you ask that, I think about, Twitter, who's been one of these jabronis into existence for the last couple of weeks. I don't know. Like, it doesn't do anything for me. I don't really understand it. You know, how does Lonzo Ball make the Grizzlies better? I mean, is he that much better than Scottie Pippen? Is he healthy? Is he, you know, what does he, I guess he brings shooting.
I think the argument is he is, in fact, is better than Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen's pretty good, though, for what the Grizzlies need.
Scottie Pippen has his moments. That's true.
Yes, Lonzo Ball is better than Scottie Pippen. You're right. But you have to give things away to acquire Lonzo Ball. Right?
That's true. You've figured out how this whole trade deadline things works now. You've figured it out.
It's not just It's not just that you just invite Lonzo Ball to join the Grizzlies. Like, you know, you have to send pieces away. And, like, do I think that, you know, the pieces that you send away...
Okay, let me ask you right now then. How are you feeling about the Grizzlies? They are second in the West, now two full games up on the Rockets. They are the fourth best team, according to record, in the NBA. They got reinforcements coming back. They've won 9 out of 10. Are you feeling like, damn, they're on lock? Don't touch it?
Yeah, actually, in a way.
Just a week ago, you were telling me they got to hit the trade deadline hard.
Well, just a week ago, they were getting blown out by the, you know, by the...
They're one loss in the last 10 games.
It was like 3 weeks ago. It was actually 3 weeks ago.
It was whenever they lost to the Knicks. That was a week ago.
Right. And
that was a week ago.
They haven't lost since then.
It was a week ago. I mean... So you're saying, like, you're overreacting to one trade.
Some things have happened.
What are the things?
Jim emerged as a legitimate finisher in the absence of Ja, right? Like, he has obviously, you know, shown that, you know, he can take over the scoring mantle if need be. You know, they're getting healthier. Gigi's back in the mix. He put up 27 the other night. So, you know, I'm not like, you know, saying that I don't think a trade could be good, you know, but they're in good form again.
You will not be unhappy if 2 o'clock passes tomorrow and they've done nothing.
I will not be unhappy. No, I will not criticize them. I mean, look, when they're playing poorly, yes, I was saying, like, you know, when they were looking bad against, you know, the good teams, the better teams, I was like, man, you know, you'd really like to see, you know, some consolidation. Like, I just think the worst parts of the group.
Since then, they've beaten the Rockets and they've beaten the Bucks, and they've beaten
and they've blown a lot of other teams out
again. Yeah. Okay.
And Jaren is like Super Saiyan right now.
He is. Yeah. How are you feeling about the? How you feel about your Memphis Tigers and the tilt against Tulsa? This, by the way. Your PJ Haggerty take, you know, it was like my Zach Randolph take, you know, like, it was the take I have to keep apologizing for decades and decades on my grave. And when someone gives a eulogy, they will say, and by the way, Jeff would one last time like to admit he was wrong about Zach Randolph. And now here it is for you and PJ Haggerty. He has been obviously tremendous. And tonight, he goes against his old Tulsa team, the team that you thought it was empty calories, carrying empty calories for a bad Tulsa team.
Yeah, so a couple of distinctions I'd like to make. You know,
yes,
yours was worse. Yours was way worse because, and I'm gonna tell you why. Not that we need to compare. You know, suffering is suffering, right? We don't need to compare anybody. Nobody's suffering needs to be compared to anybody. But you wrote that. You didn't just say it on the air. You wrote that the Grizzlies are making a mistake in so many words, or should not trade for Zach. Like, you wrote
Let's be clear. I think the headline said the worst thing the Grizzlies could do is trade for Zach Randolph. And you're right. Writing it for some God-known reason sticks in a way that just saying it into the air does not. And that's why I have to keep bringing up the PJ Haggerty thing, because otherwise people might forget it.
No, look, they're cousins. I think they're like third cousins, you know, closely related, you know. But I don't think they're anywhere close to the same thing, because I might have written something like, I don't think his scoring will quite translate on a good team. But I said, I was extremely cynical about him coming over. And
yeah, you didn't say don't bring him in. Yeah, you didn't say don't bring him in.
Yeah, like, no, I, exactly. No, I didn't say that. But again, PJ Haggerty was kind of like the main thing. But like I said, they have no shooting. You know, when they went 16% in their two exhibition games, like
they're literally the best shooting 3-point team.
They're literally number one in America. They're number one in America, bro. I mean, it's honestly incredible. But that's the thing, right? That's the beauty of emotionally hedging. That's what I was doing, right? Joy, because it's about my, shoot, and PJ Haggerty won't translate, and people will undoubtedly shower me with praise for being so ahead of the curve on this team, or my team will be the team that I grew up on, the team that I want amazing things for, will in fact be very good. And that's what's happening.
So, do you have any concern about tonight? You don't have a concern about any of these games. You didn't have concern about the Temple game that they lost. Do you have any concern about tonight?
I did have concern about the Temple game. That is a lie. I said on the show that day, on our show, that I'm on high alert for this one because they brought in Mashburn. So I was in fact worried about that one, and they lost it. Am I worried about tonight? No, I am not worried about tonight. This team is dreadful. If you would like to know the games that I'm worried about, though, I will tell you. I'm worried about the road game at Wichita State. Against Charlotte, and they had basically five players, and I was like, all right. This is the moment in their season where they're going to decide, like, do we quit with all the injuries that we have? Like, they're missing the Beverly guy. They missed their best player. They lost a couple guys during the game. Like, do they quit on the road, or do they dig in and try to turn their season around? And they won. They won with five players on the road. Now, I know it's Charlotte, but again, they're still fighting. And that you know, we know that game was very close for the majority of the game here in Memphis. So I'm worried at Wichita State, and I'm obviously worried at UAB. I would say a tinge of me maybe is worried about at South Florida, but not really. But I think worst case scenario, they lose two more. Most likely, they probably lose one more to UAB.
All right, John. I appreciate you joining us. I'll be listening from 11 until 2.
They cut me off at 9:55. I mean, I just felt like we could have had so much more fun together.
What do you want? What else would you like to discuss?
I mean, it's just normally like you don't use.
I want to clarify one thing, because while I've been talking to you, I got a text from someone or a direct message on Twitter, and they said lay off the Gaza stuff, and I want to be clear. I don't think anything that happened in Gaza is funny. I don't think anything that happened in Israel that came before is funny. It's horrific. It's human tragedy of epic proportions that we can't begin to get our minds around. And the idea of developing it and making a beautiful place like is so unbelievably disrespectful and immoral that I thought I'd mock it. But if anyone interpreted that as me making light of anything that has happened in the Gaza or in Israel before that. That was not my intent. I think it is, It is. It's immoral.
Are we apologizing on live air? Are we apologizing?
No, I'm not. No, I'm trying to clarify my intentions.
I'm just making sure. I'm making sure
that people understand why I was mocking it. I was mocking it because it is so unbelievably disrespectful to be talking about redeveloping it into and displacing everyone who now lives there. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, it's awful. I just wanted to make sure I didn't get caught up in the middle of an apology press conference.
It is impossible to get your mind around what would possess anyone to say that. It's crazy.
Well, it's also possible that the person was saying lay off the guys and stuff because they might be worried about that.
I just wanted to clarify why I was doing it.
They may be coming from like lay off Trump, right? They may be coming from that angle.
No, they're not. No. The person who wrote me said, "It's a Holocaust." That's what they said.
Got
so they weren't.
God, okay, yeah,
again,
yeah.
I don't. You know, I was trying to make my point known without being as straight up as some might find objectionable. But I think this is a point on which I think we should all be able to agree that talking in that way when it's a freaking Holocaust going on over there. Murder that began with the invasion of Israel, the slaughter of innocent Israelis, and that was the response was the slaughter of many more innocent Palestinians is not a time. It's not a development opportunity. It's not an opportunity, not a place to put a Trump tower.
Totally agree. And listen, I'm always ready. Like I come prepared every Wednesday at 9:30 to consult my geopolitical degree, as you know.
Yeah, exactly right. We got NBA talk of the trade deadline. We'll do that next with Chris Harrington. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, talk NBA with Chris Harrington. Then we'll talk to Sam Hardiman about what is happening in the city. It's Jeff Gawkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.